No, it's the word of God. Let's give him high praise for that. Blessed is he who has the privilege to handle the word of the living God. Praise God. Blessed be your name, mighty God. So this morning we talked about the fact that the Proverbs are a collection of wise sayings, dark sayings, primarily from Solomon, the son of David. And we read about his encounter with God. And God asked him a question that would jar you to your boots if he appeared to you tonight. He just told Solomon, tell me what I can do for you. Ask of me what I can do for you. And Solomon just said, give me wisdom and knowledge to be able to administer this thy great people, to go in and come out before you and your people. And because he asked for wisdom, God gave him not only wisdom and knowledge and understanding, but he gave him honor and riches and glory and all of those other things. And it leads us to conclude that the principal thing is wisdom. And if you can get that, all of the other things come along. It's housed in that boilerplate scripture where Jesus tells them, seek you first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all this other will be added unto you. Praise God. And we talked about different ways to define wisdom and understanding. The Proverbs themselves are given, according to chapter 1, beginning in verse 2. The Proverbs are given to us, verse 2, to know wisdom and instruction. Would you say to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. Now, this is the purpose of these Proverbs. And so if we deal with them honestly and we take them, appropriate them unto ourselves, then these will be the results. God's going to grant us knowledge and discretion and wisdom and justice and judgment and understanding. And those are powerful things in every area of life. Now, we dealt with the fact this morning, and I know this is like a train wreck after coming out of Psalms 147, 148, 149 and 150, we just had a party around here worshiping and praising and magnifying God. But now we're going to be talking about things that are associated with wisdom, and those things are things like ethics and business and skillful work and hard work and discipline and being able to give and receive in a hearing with another person, sound advice, planning and scheduling and effective relationships and truthfulness and wise speech. And those are powerful things. When you hear it, you don't just wahoo, you know. It doesn't make you sit up and shout, but those are the things that are the underpinnings of your shout. I want to tell you that your shout won't last long if your house is falling apart. Your shout won't last long if you're bouncing from job to job and you can't keep a relationship to save your life because you've picked up lifestyles and negative approaches, and you've been ill prepared for life. And so the word of God is bringing you wisdom and understanding so that you can be effective in every area of your life, so that you can prosper in your dealings and in your journey through this life. Somebody that knows that the word of God will make you better in everything you do, shout amen. Praise God. Somebody that knows that what you're doing right now, the word of God sets you up for it, and God gave you an open door to walk into those things. Why don't you, if you know that's true, you shout about it a little bit right now. Isn't God good? Doesn't he open up a wonderful door of favor? The Bible said he'll open up a door that no man can close. I want to pursue him in wisdom and understanding. Praise God. And in touching wisdom, you touch the meaning of life, the way to success, the order of creation, and how you comply and conform to that order, a real and genuine understanding of reality, a capacity to find significance in your life and in your life's work. It's not just knowledge. It's not just intelligence. It's not a listing of facts, but it's knowing how to navigate through life And whatever comes your way in the middle of the day, stand in the confidence of God. And so we've been pursuing that tonight. Now, our text, or rather this morning, our text this evening is from Proverbs chapter 9. Now, what we're going to do, rather than go through this verse by verse in an expositional pursuit, what we're going to do is we're going to categorize Scripture by topic. We're going to organize this study by topics, and we'll pursue it that way rather than go through, because you find a lot of redundancy throughout the book, and what we want to do is gather those ideas together, and we'll work it that way. And so tonight, if according to Proverbs 9 and 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding, then we want to begin right there. We want to start with the fear of the Lord. I want to talk about that, because I can't get to wisdom, not godly wisdom, not biblical wisdom, not unless I have a grasp of and I'm operating in the fear of the Lord. Everyone say, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So then we need to identify the fear of the Lord. And the knowledge of the holy is understanding. So then if I want understanding, I've got to know what holiness is. I'm just telling you, there's a lot of knowledge, there's a lot of wisdom in this world, but the Word of God says that the wisdom of the world is devilish and sensual. It's worldly. And it won't take you where your soul wants to go. There's a lot of brilliant people, a lot of great intelligences outside the walls of the church, but in the end, when the dust settles, when the heavens are rolled up like a scroll and the earth has passed away, the only thing that's going to be standing is the wisdom of the Word of God and those that are standing with that Word of God. Well, praise God. So tonight, I want to find wisdom that is connected with the fear of the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Now, Proverbs 8 and 13, we get a definition for the fear of the Lord. I'm getting help. That's good. Proverbs 8 and 13, would you say the fear of the Lord? Now, there's a fill in the blank there. What is the fear of the Lord? Because it's the beginning of wisdom. I want to know what it is. Well, the scripture says the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. And you think about Job, who is a righteous man, so righteous that God was his PR representative. God said, Satan, have you considered my servant Job? He's righteous in all his ways. He's a just man, he loves God, and he eschews evil. Eschew is an Old Testament word that's counterpart in the New Testament is the word circumspect. It just means you walk widely around something, keeping your eye on it. You keep your eye on. Job was somebody that went way around evil. David said, I hate every evil work. He said, I will set no wicked thing before my eye. Praise God. The scripture's full of touch not, taste not, handle not. You've got to withdraw from those things that are counterproductive for you in the spirit. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Well, praise God. You can't love evil. You can't follow after evil. If we had the time tonight, we might read about Romans chapter 1 that explains man's departure from God. Having known God, they didn't worship him as God, but they began to worship the creature more than the creator, and they began to be hardened in their hearts, and God let them go to a reprobate mind, and they began to involve themselves in all kinds of sexual sins and idolatry, and he gives you a laundry list of the sin they begin to involve themselves in. But that series and that list ends up with a statement that simply says this, talks about those that do such things and those that have pleasure in them. Now let me tell you something. There's a lot of people who live vicariously in this world. They live through their children, or they live through the exploits of other people. But there is a way for you to sin vicariously, for you to watch and follow after and admire the gross sinners of this world, the Hollywood stars and the elite of this culture that are far, far from God. But the word of God said that the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, not the people, but the evil. Get that straight. Not the people, but the evil. I hate what you're doing. God died for your soul. I'd do anything to reach you, but I hate that spirit that's on you. Praise God. There was a little girl seeking for the Holy Ghost down in the altar this morning. And a sister came to me and said, there's a spirit of stubbornness there. And I could see she's brand new. She's just getting tracked in this. She's just cranking Bible study and she's just filled with the Holy Ghost and learning how to shout and everything. I could see it in her eyes. She wanted to go put a palm on the head of that gal and chase that devil out of there. But I said, listen, we don't have much display in this altar of demonic activity. The reason we don't is because we have intense worship. And it's like David in the house of Saul. A demon has to, he just said, I'll wait for you outside. I'll stay in the car. I'll stand on the porch. But we don't have a whole lot of demonic activity down here. But what I told her is that you're not witnessing stubbornness that is born of a spirit. You're watching a stronghold in the mind of that child that is born there through the rigors of everyday life and the people that she's been involved with and the influences in her life. And the strongholds are in that stubbornness is in her mind. But she's doing beautifully. She's down here. She's praying. Those sisters are praying with her. And she's moving from point A to point B. She may not get there this morning, but she's going to get there. She's on her way, and those strongholds are shaking, and they're coming down just by her responding to God. But I watched that sister. She felt that spirit, and she came down like, I've got dominion in this house. She didn't say that, but I read that. You know how new converts are. She said, there's a spirit of stubbornness there. She was mad. She was mad. That baby girl was seeking for the Holy Ghost, and there was a spirit of stubbornness that she was ready to go to battle. She was ready to fight. Don't you get angry when you see somebody trying to live for God and something is dragging them back? Don't you get angry when you see a loved brother or sister in the Lord struggling and fighting to stay alive in the kingdom of God? Doesn't it make you angry when you see our children making their way through the maze of adolescence and they're trying to live for God and every devil in hell is singing a siren song to them? My God, the fear of God is to hate evil. We are not casual about evil. We're not just passive about evil. You've got to get an attitude about evil. Something that's going to destroy your babies. Something that's going to steal your young people. He wants to wreck your house. He wants to wreck your marriage. He wants to tear down your church. He wants you to back off on everything that's precious to God. You got to get an attitude about evil. Praise God. If you really do in your heart, shove your neighbor a little bit and tell him, I hate evil. Come on, you got to get on board with this. Hating evil is the beginning of wisdom. Because hating evil is the fear of the Lord. Praise God. I didn't say hating people. Now, some people, when you take a stand for holiness and righteousness and godliness, and you draw a line and you say we hate evil, people think that you hate people, but that's not so. God hates evil. God died for people. The church hates evil. The church will do anything for people. We'll go buy a bus and somebody will drive it around a neighborhood in the middle of the night, picking up somebody else's kids that don't care enough about them to let them go to hell. But we love the people. We'll come to your house day or night and teach you a Bible study. We love the people. But I'm about up to here with the evil. It's killing my friends. It's tearing down those that I prayed for. I hate the evil. My God, if I could roll out. I have started 1,000 times to make a list. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost in the house tonight. I've started 1,000 times to make a list of all the people who have come here and lived for God, for not just coming, gotten the Holy Ghost and left, but I mean somebody that you actually got to know a little bit, taught Bible study to, came and lived for God a little while. I've almost sat down to compile a list, but every time I do, the Holy Ghost says, don't do that. Don't do that. Enough so that I just don't fool with it anymore. Somebody asked me that just a couple of weeks ago. Have you ever sat down and counted? I said, no. Holy Ghost won't let me sit down and count. But if I could reel out that list for you tonight, if I could reel out that list, starting with the people that won me to God, starting with my family that went back on God, starting with people that were in the storefront with us, but they went back on God, starting with people that walked across this parking lot this week with their children in tow, but they long since have stopped living for God, but they want to bring them to the house for some mysterious reason that I can't fathom. If I wasn't going to do this, I wouldn't want to be within 1,000 miles of it, but they can't get away from it. Some evil has penetrated their experience and dragged them away, but it's still down in their heart. I'm telling you, I hate it. It's killing my brothers. It's wasting my sisters. It's taking away those that I poured my heart and my prayer and my life into. You need to get an attitude about it. Not only about your friends, but about yourself. He thinks he can destroy you. He thinks he can take your soul. He thinks he can crush your potential. He thinks he can take you out of the hand of God. Somebody needs to get an attitude about it and draw a line tonight and say, I hate it. God said Job was a just man, loves God and hates evil. You can't love evil and love God. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of God is not in him. They're not cool. They're not wise. They're not sophisticated. They are not appealing. Whatever's drawing you, whatever's shaking you, whatever's moving on you, it wants to drag you down into hell. You need to get an attitude about it tonight. You need to build a fortress of prayer. You need to draw out the sword of the Spirit and say the only interaction you and I are going to have is some bloody encounter, and the kingdom of God is going to be victorious. I'm talking about wisdom tonight and all of the wonderful and powerful things that are derived from wisdom. But wisdom begins with the fear of the Lord. And the fear of the Lord defined is to hate evil. You can't walk into the wisdom of God until you get an attitude about evil. An attitude about evil, the second half of that, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. To have an attitude about evil and begin to build boundaries. To begin to draw lines. You never thought we were going to talk about holiness in order to achieve wisdom. But I'm just going to tell you, without holiness in your life, you can't have a flirting experience with wisdom. If you've got an attitude about evil, you build a wall against it. If you've got an attitude about evil, you cut off the influences that bring it. If you've got an attitude about evil, you don't go where it is. You don't fellowship it. You don't embrace it. You don't follow after it. You don't listen to it on the radio. You don't sit down and watch it on the television. You don't go to the theater and clap your hands for it. If adultery's wrong, singing about adultery's wrong. If adultery's wrong, daytime television can't be a place for godly people. Movies can't be a, Hollywood movies cannot be a place for God's people. You say, well, I you don't hate evil. Evil entertains you. You might not drink, but you get off by watching them drink. You may not do drugs, but you get off watching them do drugs. You may not commit adultery, but you watch them committing adultery. The Bible said those that do them and those that take pleasure in them, that do them. And he lumps them all together. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Praise God. And the beginning of the understanding is to understand the holy. What is holy? You can't have the wisdom of God without a construct for holiness in your life. Holy is this. Holy is set apart to the exclusive use of God. I don't belong to anybody else. That's why when they wandered off to the Philistine camp, he said, adultery. Because you can't go flirting with something else and be faithful to God. How many of you husbands are willing for your wife to go flirt with another man? How many of you wives are willing for your husband to go flirt with another woman? I tell you tonight, your God is not willing for his people, his bride, his chosen, to go flirting with another God, to go dancing with the world, to go embracing the things of the world. He said, if you want to have the fear of God, you got to hate evil. You need to have a construct for holiness in your life. Holiness is something set apart to the express, exclusive use of God, something that is filled with the presence of God, or something that is made or built by the parameters, the specifications of the Word of God. That's the criteria for holiness, and that is the beginning of understanding. Praise God. Are you in 9 and 10? Give me 9 and 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. So knowledge of the holy, and then back to 8 and 13. Fear of the Lord is to hate evil. And so an attitude about evil and a construct, an understanding of holiness, they are essential to biblical wisdom. You can't have a quasi non-biblical worldly church experience and seriously think that that's going to be pleasing to God. You can't have that. You can't fraternize with evil. You can't dance with evil. You can't embrace evil. You can't dress evil up and say it's a church. You can do anything you want to do. You can flap your arms and quack like a duck. That's exactly right. I'm getting help in the house tonight. Praise God. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, arrogancy, the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. And so in the pursuit of wisdom, biblical wisdom, we're going to understand that biblical criteria for wisdom is a hatred of evil, pride, arrogancy, the evil way, and the froward mouth, a mouth that speaks out of both sides and can't find the truth with both hands. Praise God. Praise God. And so tonight as we stand before God, then to find wisdom, I've got to come humbly. To find wisdom, I've got to come with respect to God and diminishing myself. I have to, as John said, he must increase, but I must decrease. The prayer in the garden, not my will, but thy will be done. Not bowing up and saying, well, I'm going to live my life. I don't think all these rules are important. I don't think the church can tell me what to do. I don't think a man has a right to tell me. I don't think you can think whatever you want to think, but you won't tap the wisdom of God without an attitude about evil and without setting your pride aside and embracing the word of God and sitting down like a little child and hearing the truth and the word of God. He hates arrogancy and the froward mouth. Praise God. Now, when we begin to talk about pride, arrogancy, the evil way, the froward mouth, God's not interested in you evaluating all the people around you. Oh, yeah, I know people with froward mouths. I know arrogant people. I thought about you, Ryan, when I read all that stuff. Pride and arrogance. You really ought to do something about that. You know, but he's not interested in my attitude about you. Anything in the Word of God is not designed to bounce off you. You're not a reflector for God's Word to other people. But rather, you've got to receive that word of God. It's got to come to you. You've got to hate evil. You've got to quit looking around and saying, look at them. Look, you need to turn that back toward yourself and inspect your heart. Wisdom begins with self-inspection. And what am I, and what kind of man am I, and am I honest, and am I truthful, and am I humble in the presence of God? Do I walk in the house of God or in a business place or in a public place and feel superior to somebody in the house because of some material thing or because of some perception of mine? I want you to know we're all the same. The Bible said the rich and the poor meet together before the Lord. The grave and the cross are great levelers of men and women. There is no room in this house for pride. We're all a bunch of beggars that have just found a little bit of bread. There are no betters among us. Praise God. Got to get an attitude about pride and arrogance and the evil way. You boys play all the basketball you want out here. But Holy Ghost filled young men, don't bow up at one another over a stupid game. I'll bulldoze that thing out there. You better get your spirit right. Your attitude right. Guy chops you coming down the lane. Don't be a namby-pamby about that. Just chop him back when you go down. That's how that works. But don't get an old repulsive attitude and carry it into the church. Praise God. Praise God. We're all working together in the kingdom of God. For the good of the kingdom. We all have passion. We all have burden. We're all brethren and sister in the kingdom of God. Praise God. First in me. Everyone say first in me. Praise God. Chapter 10 and verse 27. Now I'm going to let you go early tonight. You've been working too hard this week. Well, the good thing about the Proverbs here is we can start and stop whenever we want. 10 and 27. Everyone say, the fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. There are real consequences in living in the wisdom of God or outside of it. There are real time, real life consequences. It matters how you live. It matters what you do. It matters what attitudes you harbor and how you conduct yourself before God. The fear of the Lord to hate evil prolongeth days. Well, just statistically, you get better insurance rates. You can go apply for life insurance, and if you're a drinker and a smoker and a drugger, you're going to pay higher rates. And if you've got a few DUIs, you're going to pay astronomical insurance rates. There are real-time consequences for things that are outside the parameters of the wisdom of God. The fear of the Lord prolongs your days, statistically. Living for God and walking in His wisdom will prolong your days. But the years of the wicked shall be shortened. Give me 14 and 2. We're just talking about wisdom here, and it begins with the fear of the Lord. And what we're doing is biblically defining the fear of the Lord. 14 and 2. Everyone say, he that walketh in his uprightness feareth the Lord. But he that is perverse in his ways despises him. Now, you can interview everybody in this city, and they'll tell you, I love the Lord. You can interview every drunk on every bar stool, and they'll say, but I love the Lord. And if you challenge somebody about their love, it's like challenging a congressman about his patriotism. How dare you? Doesn't matter how he votes. You just don't do. Every drunk on every bar stool in this city loves the Lord, and their moms will get mad at you if you question the fact that they love. Well, I know they ain't living it, but they love the Lord. Well, I know I'm not perfect, but I love the Lord. Well, no, go back to the word of God. He that walketh in uprightness feareth the Lord. So it is of necessity that you walk in uprightness, that you do what you know to be right, that you obey the word of God. That is a definition for the fear of the Lord, or the beginning of wisdom, if you would. But he that is perverse in his ways despises God. So if you're walking with calculated and conscious sin in your life, then you're walking in a way that you despise God. Somebody say, don't despise God. Now, anybody will tell you, but I love the Lord. But you don't. If you're walking in willful sin, you despise God. Despise just means you think little of him. You think little of him, you think little of his word. No, I love him. No, your actions speak. I know we live in a crazy world where people value things and determine things by feelings and by thoughts, but that's not how God's kingdom works. It's not how the word of God works. It's what you do, son. It's how you live, son. Salvation is not a thought. It's not an acceptance. It's not a matter of cognition. Salvation is what you do. So walking in uprightness is fearing the Lord. But having a perverse way is despising God. Praise God. Now, I understand that quasi-reformation theology, worldly Christianity, teaches that it doesn't matter what you do. And because of that, they've got 99.9% of Christianity in America lives like they don't think it matters what you do. The Bible said you got to be baptized. Well, that's a work. The Bible said you got to live holy. Don't put rules and legalism on me. The Bible says a lot of things, but they've got an attitude that is resistant to instruction. All they want to hear is, I love God, God loves me, I'm okay, you're okay, it doesn't matter what I do. But the word of God says you've got to walk uprightly. You've got to determine what that means in the word of God. Reformation theology tells you all that matters is what you feel in your heart and what you think. But the word of God said you've got to repent of your sins. This begins, I want to just give you the gospel right now. This begins with repentance. You got to get an attitude about sin. It begins at an altar. You got to come to an altar and say, God, I can't go on like I've been. I can't live like I've been living. I've got to get this off of my heart and out of my life. You get that started in an altar of prayer and in an altar. Repentance is a powerful experience. Men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said the first thing you've got to do is repent. And that begins, that's the catalyst for your interaction with God regarding salvation. You repent of your sins. Everything you're doing that's not like God, you lay it on an altar. And then he says, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. You say, well, what does this have to do with wisdom? Well, wisdom is the fear of the Lord. Well, what is that? The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. You got to get a handle on the evil in your life. You don't have the power to do it. You've got to come into covenant with God. It begins in an altar of repentance. And then when you go down in the water, in Jesus' name, as those three did this morning, then the blood is activated in your life and your sins are washed away. Now I'm talking. Now you've got some power over sin in your life. Now you've got a place of some strength and authority because the name of Jesus has been applied to your life. Somebody say praise the Lord. And then turn to your neighbor and say, you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Praise God. And if you want to have power to walk right and live right and to be upright before God, you got to get the Holy Ghost. You've got to get the Holy Ghost. You need the Holy Ghost. It's not just an added blessing. You got to have the Holy Ghost. You won't get up when the trumpet sounds without the Holy Ghost. You got to have the Holy Ghost. It's a resurrection power. You got to have the Holy Ghost. It's God in you to illuminate the word of God. There was a long, tall gentleman in the altar this morning standing there praying. I said, man, it's so good that you're here. He said, I like this church. I said, yeah, I like it too. And I'm glad to be here too. I said, but have you ever heard about the Holy Ghost? He said, yeah. I said, well, have you ever received the Holy Ghost? He said, well, I don't know. I don't know. I said, have you ever spoken in tongues in a language that you never learned in school? He said, well, no. I said, well, everybody. And I gave him the whole drill. Gave him the whole drill about the Holy Ghost. He didn't know, because the world has taught him that the Holy Ghost, they've marginalized the Holy Ghost experience. They've diminished the Holy Ghost experience. All they want is a Reformation experience that just says, no works. Don't make me do anything. Don't say anything's essential. I want you to know tonight, repentance is essential. Water baptism in Jesus' name is essential. The infilling of the Holy Ghost is essential. Holiness of lifestyle is essential. Following after and obeying the Word of God is essential. You can't go to heaven without it. And there's only one other place to go. Somebody say praise the Lord. You got to talk about wisdom. Wisdom begins with the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord has to do with an attitude about evil and walking uprightly. You can't do that without repentance, water baptism in His name, and the infilling of the Holy Ghost. The covenant is where you begin to get close to the wisdom of God. All of Christianity is out there beating a drum for wealth and prosperity and Cadillacs. And if you have faith, and if you believe God, and they're not even in the covenant. I said they're not in the covenant. If you hadn't been born again of the water and the Spirit, Jesus said you can't see the kingdom of heaven. You can't enter into the kingdom of heaven unless you're born of the water, which is baptism, and it's got to be in Jesus' name, and the Spirit. Now, do you mind me being plain with you tonight? It's way too late in the dispensation to mince words. I'm talking about wisdom tonight. Wisdom begins in the gospel. The wisdom of God begins with the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil and get it out of your life. You don't have power over evil without the gospel in your life. Praise God. Somebody say praise the Lord. I think we can pick back up on Wednesday night. How's that sound to you? We'll call a business. Let's stand together. Praise God. If you're in the house, you've never repented of your sins, the altar's open for you right now. If you've never gone down in the water in Jesus' name, the altar is open for you. If you've never been filled with the Holy Ghost. But I want everybody in the house to come down to the altar. We're going to pray a prayer of repentance tonight. Stand with your family if your family's here. If you don't have family, adopt somebody. Praise God. As you gather, as you begin to gather, if you're first down here, you got to come up on the steps and make room. There's people behind you. Begin to pray a prayer of repentance. Wash me, and I'll be white as wool. Purge me. Cleanse me. Forgive me, O God. Praise God. Praise God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Praise God. Teach me to hate evil, God. Show me your word, O God. I start by bearing my heart before you. Cleanse me and forgive me of everything that's not like you. Everything that's not like your word. Hallelujah. Forgive me, O God. Wash me. Purge me, mighty God. Teach me your ways, O God. Show me your wisdom, your understanding. Show me what you love, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory, glory to God. praise, God. Now, could we just begin to praise Him and magnify Him? I bless Your name, oh God. I worship You, oh God. I magnify You. Glory, 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 glory. We lift You up. We magnify You. Together, let's pray. God, grant us wisdom. God, grant us understanding. God, give us knowledge. Breathe on us, oh God. Pray a collective prayer. Pray for your families. God will just inundate us with a new